Welcome back to the South Harbor Church Podcast. South Harbor is a part of the Harbor Churches, which exist to help people find their way back to God. This week, we continue our Church at Home series called One Another, and we wanted to remind you that many of the resources referenced in our message today are available both on our Facebook pages and through our weekly email. If you are not currently receiving that email and you would like to, please contact us at shinfo@harborchurches.org. So that would be shinfo@harborchurches.org, and we'll be sure to get you on the list. And now, here's Pastor Tim.
Good morning, South Harbor Church, or good day, good evening, whenever you're watching this. Welcome to South Harbor Church at your home, and as you can see, I am in my basement right now. Now, why am I in my basement? Well, I wanted to begin our worship this morning by telling you a story. When I was a kid, we had a room like this. Let me see if I can tuck this. We had a room like this in our house. My house growing up is a lot like my house now. We had our basement was divided into two rooms. On the one half of the room was what we referred to as the good side of the basement. This side of the basement had green shag carpet. It was awesome. We had fluorescent lights that were like really bright and made the hum sound. And then we had this this like dark brown wood paneling. It was exactly as sweet as you think it is. But that was the good side of the basement. The other side of the basement was what we referred to as the bad side of the basement. It looked a lot like where I am right now. And so as you can see, that's our furnace. Now, as a kid, we would be playing in the good side of the basement, and all of a sudden, we would hear this noise. And as a kid, I was convinced that there was a monster living on the other side of the basement. And I refused to go in there because I believed to the bottom of me that there was a monster there. Now, do you have a place like this in your house? Kids, do you have a room like this in your house? Or maybe it's not in your house. Maybe there's a place in life in general. The kids, maybe it's the school bus. Students, maybe it's a cafeteria. Adults, maybe it's an office or it's a person. And this person or this place, it scares you. It's like a furnace. But here's the thing. As I've become an adult, here's what I've learned, is that this furnace, which I thought was a monster, it's actually really, really good. And on cold days in the winter, this furnace keeps my family and myself warm. And so sometimes the things that we think are scary, the things that actually are quite scary, the things that terrify us, if we choose to look at them just a little bit differently, what we may discover is the things that scare us actually can be quite good. And so, what I want to talk about this morning, we want to sing some songs, we want to say some prayers, I want to study a couple of scripture passages with you, we want to do worship together, I want you to engage with whoever you are with, but what I'm hoping to do this morning is, in a time and in a season that is a bit scary, I want to offer you another way of looking at it, another way of looking at this time, because I actually believe that we may see some beautiful signs of God in the midst of all of this. So with that, I'm going to make my way upstairs where the light's a little bit better. I think hear my dog coming down. I'm going to make my way upstairs where the light's a little bit better, and we'll talk more there, but until then, I want to turn it over to Pastor Tierra, who's going to give us some ways to stay connected in the midst of this season. See you in a minute.
Thanks, Tim, and good morning, South Harbor. My name's Tierra. I'm one of the pastors here at South Harbor Church, and I am thrilled that I get to gather virtually with you for worship today. A few things for us this morning. First, your pastors miss you. Know that we are praying for you, that we care for you, and that if for whatever reason you want to connect with any of us, we would be thrilled to sit with you during this season. And remember that we do have a licensed counselor on our pastoral staff, Pastor Shanna Houseman, who would love to sit with you if you reach out to her. If you find yourself in need during this season, we have a COVID-19 response team here at Harbor Churches. And you can connect with that team and indicate what you need through our website, southharbor.org. On the very front page of the website, under the drop down, how can I get help? That team would love to connect you with resources from within and outside of Harbor Churches. In the midst of all of the things that are changing really rapidly, if you find yourself disconnected from information at South Harbor Church, I'd love for you to do two things. One, sign up for our weekly email. And two, like us on Facebook. Through both of those channels, we are communicating information on how to get connected, information on how to give, information on how to serve, and information on how to receive help. And if you have a family, I would highly encourage you to like our Harbor Kids at South Harbor Facebook page. Our kids team is doing an incredible job of sharing resources for creative ways to engage and worship during this season. So four particular announcements for us this morning. First, at 3 o'clock today on Facebook Live, Pastor Tim will be kind of responding to some of the questions that I think are turning within a number of our hearts around what's happening around us and where God is in the midst of that. And so if you've got some questions that you've been wrestling with, by all means, bring those questions to Facebook Live at 3 o'clock with Pastor Tim. Would love to be a part of that conversation with you. Secondly, we are launching something at Harbor Churches called Virtual Communities. Virtual Communities are an opportunity to connect with other people here within South Harbor Church, because social distance doesn't necessarily have to mean social isolation or social disconnection. And so we'd love to connect you with some people. Register for that this week so that we can connect you with some folks in the near future. Thirdly, Pastor Tim and I, for the last several weeks, have been doing this thing that we call the Blessed Lab. And in Blessed Lab, we've been wrestling with this question of what does it look like to help people find their way back to God? And what does it mean to be good news to the people around us? And most recently, a third question has gotten added to that of how do we do that in the midst of a global pandemic? And we've had such a good time having conversations with a few people here at South Harbor Church that we thought it would actually make sense for us to do another round of Blessed Lab. And so we're gonna launch what we're calling the Virtual Blessed Lab on Monday nights from 8 till 9 p.m. Through the Zoom platform. So we'd love for you to be a part of that conversation with us. Feel free to drop your name and your email into the registration form, and we would be happy to share directions for how to connect with us on the Zoom platform starting next April 6th. And finally, I'm not sure what you planned to give up during Lent, but my guess is that you've probably given up a lot more than you've anticipated. So during the Lenten season, traditionally we fast, but fasting isn't just giving up something. Fasting is also creating intentional space in our lives and in our hearts for fresh encounter with God. So we want to reclaim Lent starting today and moving through the rest of the Lenten season leading up to Easter. And to do that, we want to provide some resources, some written devotionals and some other things. And all of that will be available on our Facebook page. So with that, I think I'm going to turn things back over to Tim.
All right. Thank you, Tierra, and welcome back. By the way, I don't think I actually introduced myself before. My name is Tim. I have the honor of being the pastor of South Harbor Church. And you are now we made our way from upstairs or from downstairs. You are now in my living room. Although lately this living room has also played as recess and classroom for my kids and art studio for my kids. And typically there are toys laying all over the place in this room. This is also our TV room now, so it's like a theater. And it's been my office the last week and a half. And now I guess it's a pulpit and a recording studio for sermons. So it's like all of my worlds got smashed together. I'm guessing some of you know exactly how that goes. Now, let me say this. We have worked really hard in these sermons to keep things as short as possible, as concise as possible, but also we've worked really hard to allow this to be as inclusive to all age groups as possible, from the littlest of children to the oldest that are watching right now. We worked really hard to make sure that certain topics that are really scary or really complicated, that we save those conversations for another venue or another space. And so today at 3 o'clock on Facebook, we will have a Facebook Live chat. I would love to field the questions around. I know job loss is a major source of pain right now. I understand that there are a lot of theological questions swirling. Is this God's plan? Is God trying to teach us something? I hear the same stuff on Facebook or Instagram that you're hearing and seeing. And so I'd like to have a conversation about all of that today at 3. But if I could, at the risk of boring the children who are watching this, if I could just speak to the adults who are watching just for a moment, I know that these are hard times. And hear me, if you lost your job this week, I am so sorry. If this week you found yourself dealing with a whole new financial reality, if your job experienced layoffs or cutbacks in any way, I am so sorry. Or if you're an employer and as an employer, you've had to make a really, really difficult decision about laying people off, I am so sorry. And so hear me, I want to talk about giving and what does it mean to support the church in this, but understand it's never about shame. And so if right now you're finding yourself like wondering how are you going to put food on the table, please know, please know. There is no shame in having to scale back. That said, please hear this as well. The last couple of weeks have impacted us as well. Financially, things right now, for lack of a better term, they're just really, really difficult. We've also had to have really difficult conversations. In fact, you may not know this, but South Harbor Church is part of a larger family of churches known as Harbor Churches. And at 5 p.m. today, the senior pastor of Harbor Churches, Pastor Tom Ellenboss, will be sending out some information about the exact financial reality that we're finding ourselves in over the last couple of weeks. And so if you could be paying attention to your inbox for that information. As your pastor right now, let me ask you something. And you know I don't love making these kinds of asks, but please, if you are able to keep your regular gifts to the church going in this season, I am telling you right now, it will personally impact us. It'll impact me, it'll impact our staff, and it will impact our church as a whole. We are still full throttle on our ministries in our local community. We are still full throttle in our ministries across this globe. We haven't scaled back, and we don't want to. And if you are able to give a beyond and above that, I'm going to cry. I cannot even begin to tell you how much that will mean to us, how much that will mean to me. How to do that? The easiest way is to give online. If you go to our website, www.southharbor.org, in the top right corner of the website, there is a button and it says give online. If you can give online, that's the easiest way. If you prefer to give in another way, you can send a check in. You can just let me know. My email and my phone number are on the website as well. But from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for continuing to lean in. Thank you for continuing to be the church. Thank you for continuing to help people find their way back to God. From the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Hi, friends. My name is Jared. I'm the worship director at South Harbor Church. I'm so glad that you could join us in this video. If it happens to be Sunday, happy Sunday. If it's another day of the week, we're just glad that you have come. To gather in the way that we're gathering this week. So if you were with us last week, I laid out a challenge for us to begin a journey of singing together in our homes and asked you to sing a song throughout the week. And then we were going to sing that again for this video today and see how our experience changes. So for those of you that did your homework, we're going to sing that song again right now. If you didn't, if you're just joining us for the very first time today, or if you weren't able to to work on the song during the week, we want you to know that's really okay. Follow along as you can. We're going to sing it together right now. And so that song goes like this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7. So the question that we had from last week was, how did the experience change? So one of the things that I would love for you to do this week is, as you continue on your journey of singing each day of the week in your homes, if you would want to take a little video clip of that, if you're doing it with your family, or if you're really bold and you want to like go outside in your driveway and sing these songs to your neighborhood, we would love it if you would share that with us. If you just want to post that on social and hashtag it, SH Sing at Home, we would love to see how you guys are engaging this thing that is, to be honest, very unusual in our culture today. And so for our video today, we're gonna sing a song. One of the things that we've been talking about is trying to continue to use songs that are known both from our adult Sunday morning gatherings and also from our kids' large group Sunday morning gatherings. And so we're probably going to keep using songs like that as we continue to sing together. And so in just a second, I'm going to invite my wife Holly, and we're going to sing a song called A Thousand Tongues. And this song was based loosely on an old hymn that you can look up another time. We're going to sing this song together, and then we will pass this on. And so, let's sing. One, two, three, four. We are a sea of voices. We are an ocean of we Good job, everyone. We'll see you next time.
All right. Welcome back. Hey, if you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts. I got a sermon. I want to share a couple of thoughts on a story that I absolutely, absolutely love. Acts chapter 2. And as you're finding it and as I'm finding it, if you would, please join me in, I'd love to say a prayer for us. Gracious Lord, we invite your spirit to speak to us again. Lord, would you provide a word of hope and a word of comfort and a word of encouragement as we seek to live out your gospel in our world. Lord, would you help us to put flesh and blood on what it means to follow you. Lord, would our faith not just be talk, but would we lean in with action? Jesus, we love you and we pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 2. Now, before we read it, please understand this is about the early church. Now, when it comes to talking about the early church, it's important to remember that the very first followers of Jesus, this early church, lived in a really scary time. Why are we talking about this? Because right now things can be a bit, what's going on? This can be a bit scary. Their world at the time was ruled by a nation known as Rome. And Rome's leaders, a group of people known as the emperors, that think like kings or the president in our country, they're emperors, the people at the top of the system. Guys with funny names. The emperors had I think they're funny names. Augustus, Caesar Augustus. You may have heard of Caesar Augustus in the Christmas story. Emperor Nero or Vespasian. Kids, try saying Vespasian. Vespasian. Domitian. Domitian was a particularly tough dude. Bad dude. But the emperors, these leaders of the Romans who led the world at the time, they said some things about themselves. One of the things they said about themselves was that they were gods, which obviously wasn't true. And the first Christian said, "We refuse to call you gods. We cannot say that you are a god because there is only one true God." And so the very first Christian said, "We're not going to bow down to just a dude. We're not going to bow down to the emperor." This made the Romans really, really mad. So guess what they do? Guess what the emperors do, because the Christians won't bow down. They said that in order for the Christians, these first Christians, to buy and sell their stuff in what they referred to as the agora, it was like the mall of their day. It's where you go to buy and sell stuff. They said, in order to do that, you would first have to declare that the emperor is God. You would have to bow down, give the emperor worship, and when you did, you would receive a mark on your hand or on your forehead, and this mark showed everybody else that you're allowed to buy and sell in the marketplace, in the agora, in the mall, because you declared the emperor to be God. Now, the first Christian said, "We can't do that." So they weren't allowed in. Now, if you cannot buy and sell, essentially you cannot work. And if you cannot work, you cannot make money. And if you cannot make money, you cannot buy food, unless you're like a farmer or something. You cannot buy food. And if you cannot buy food, well, kids, what happens if you don't eat? Yeah. You see how this is such a big deal, don't you? You see how this is such a big deal. But here's what the Christians did. They were unbelievably courageous, unbelievably bold. They said, "We refuse to bow down to the Roman Emperor Augustus, Vespasian, Nero, Trajan. We refuse to bow down. We refuse to worship this. There's only one true God, and the emperor, you are not him." The emperor, they said, is not a god. They actually went so far as to say that the emperor is a beast. And they said, "We're not going to go to the agora and receive the mark of the beast." If that sounds familiar to you, it's because it's exactly the language that a pastor named John uses in a letter called the Letter of Revelation at the end of your Bible. But perhaps you're wondering, here's where things get brilliant. How do they survive? Now here's, I think this is just incredible. What they recognized, these early Christians, was that they weren't alone. There were actually a number of them. And in this group of Christians, they realized that they each Christian had a different gift. They had like different things they could do. And so in their community, they had a farmer. Let's call the farmer Old MacDonald. In the community, they had a doctor. And let's call the doctor Doc McStuffins, for lack of a better term. In the community, they had a builder. Let's call the builder Bob. And then in addition to that, they had a pastor and they had a teacher and a whole lot of other people who had really important jobs. Guess what they did? They just said, oh, you're not going to let us into the marketplace. We'll just bond together and we'll share. Old MacDonald, he has a farm. And Doc McStuffins, she knows how to heal things. She's got medicine. And Bob's a builder. Let's just share. Now, that's the story we find in Acts chapter 2. Let me read it for you. I love this story. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The apostles were the first Christians. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love that story. What could have been scary when I was a kid, we had a furnace in our basement. Every time this furnace would kick on, I swore it was a monster. The older I got, the more I realized that every time that furnace kicked on, it was not a monster. Not only was it not a monster, it was producing heat that protected my family, the people I love the most. What could have been scary, like a furnace in a basement, they decided to look at a different way. They saw it as an opportunity to come together. Now, if you're looking at your Bible, look at your Bible, Acts 2, you see this story of the early church. What's the story that's right before it? It's the story of Pentecost. Pentecost is the moment in which the Holy Spirit comes down, rests upon the church. It's the moment that God comes down and rests upon the church. The story before this is the story of Pentecost. The story right after the story of Pentecost is the story of the church coming together and sharing everything they have. The earliest Christian said, you want proof that God is with us? Look at how we love one another. Look at how we share with one another. Look how we take care of one another. We are doing what people do not naturally do. So let's talk about today and now. Right now, things have gotten difficult. They've gotten hard. Kids, I bet you miss your teachers, and I bet you miss your friends. I'm guessing that right now has been really hard to not go play with all of your friends. Students, some of you, I was talking to someone this week who has a senior in high school, and students, some of you are missing key milestones. Prom, graduation. I get it. That's painful. Maybe you're an athlete and this is your last year, or you're an athlete and you've worked hard training and you're missing your season. Parents, have you experienced this? Liza and I, my wife and I, work really, really hard to not bring work home. Now, we're not perfect at that, but we work really hard to not bring work home. And yet, throughout the last week and a half, what I've discovered is my kids see me working a lot. And they say things to me like, hey, Dad, will you go play? Or can you come play with us? And I say to them, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm working. And I feel like I'm not the greatest employee, because I can't be fully present at work, but I'm also not I feel like I'm letting my kids down because I'm not fully present with them. Are you feeling any of this? Like all of your spaces, you had figured out a rhythm and it all got shattered. Or maybe it is financial for you. Maybe it is the fear of job loss or the actual lived experience of job loss or job scale back. Hear me. All of that is real. And I'm hoping we can talk more about it at 3 o'clock today. But also hear this. That is real. The pain, the heartache, it's real. And if you're finding yourself sad, it's normal. If you're finding yourself angry or scared, it's normal. I feel that also. But hear me. Our God has not abandoned us. In fact, if you look close, the early Christians said the first sign of God's presence among the people, the sign of that, the proof of that, of God's presence among the people, were how Christians bonded together and did things that people don't normally do. And I'm telling you, if you look around right now, you know the stories, you see the stories. We are doing things. We are taking care of each other in ways I don't know that we've done as a community in my lifetime, at least. There's evidence of our God's presence everywhere. One line I want us to think about, and then we will wrap up. But one line I want us to think about comes out of the author of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but they're brilliant. The author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25. Last week, we started a series called One Another. There are 16 one another's of love one another, but there are 59 other statements for how we are to engage one another. And I love how the author of Hebrews talks about it. He says, or she says, we don't know. I said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Let me pause there. You know that's true, don't you? Right now, maybe you're struggling to see him, to see God in the midst of all of this. Look backwards. Look back. You see, you experienced hard seasons before. He was there, wasn't he? He will get you. He's present in this, and he will pull us through this. I promise you. Verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Spur one another. I love that the author of Hebrews encourages the early church to not stop doing exactly what they're doing. The harder it gets, the more we lean into one another, the more we help each other, keep loving each other, keep serving each other. He stirs them on, spurs them on. And then we read this, and this is a difficult line in this. Verse 25. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habits of doing. He says, keep meeting. Now you're thinking, how do we do that? Right now they say, right now it's impossible for us to do that. Right now it's the worst idea to meet. While we may need to maintain some physical distance, what I don't want us to find ourselves doing is finding ourselves relationally distanced. We need each other. Right now more than ever, we need to stay connected. Loneliness is a very real threat in this. And so I just want to invite you into one of our virtual communities. I want to invite you to journey with each other, with us, to continue to take our faith deeper, to not miss what God is saying in the midst of all of this. Pastor Tiara mentioned it earlier, if you rewind, how to get involved, but it should all be on our website and on our Facebook page. And as you do, here are three questions. Maybe you want to pause and write these down. Three questions I want you to think about this week. Question number one, what are some of the things about doing church at home that you'll miss when we're able to gather again? In other words, is there anything right now that's actually kind of nice? Maybe it's easy right now to only focus on the negative. Is there anything that's actually kind of nice? And then number two, on the other side of that, what are some of the reasons that you look forward to being able to gather together again? What are some of the reasons you look forward to being able to gather together again? Or what are you most excited about? And then number three, in what ways can you narrow the social distance between you and those around you without narrowing the physical distance? Now, I'm going to turn it over to Abby. She's going to lead us in an activity. And it's not only fun, but it is really helpful to think about all of this. And then I'll see you in a few minutes again, because we've got a prayer and a benediction. But thank you. We'll talk in just a moment.
My name's Abby. I am the Harbor Kids Director at South Harbor Church, and I am coming to you this morning from my kitchen. Today in our video series, we've been talking about the early church and how we can stir up one another to love and do good works. So as Tim was talking about in his sermon this morning, the early church met in people's homes, the temple courts, and anywhere that they could. So to me, this was an awesome reminder during this time when we're home with our loved ones and our family that the church isn't just a building. The church is the smiling face of the person you're excited to see when you come to Harbor Kids on a Sunday morning. The church is your small group leader. The church is the friendly person who greets you at the door on a Sunday morning. The church is each and every one of us. So during this time when we can't all be together in a building, we're still able to be the church and be the amazing light of Jesus to those who we are with in our homes and those in the community. So I want to take a minute today to do an activity together. So if you're following along at home, I want you to go to the Harbor Kids at Home. It was sent out in an email yesterday, also is attached to the Facebook post this morning. So I am going to go to the craft section of the Harbor Kids at Home. And all you're going to need is a piece of paper and some markers or some crayons. And before we get started, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about trees. So what happens to trees in the fall? I'm sure most of you at home said the leaves start to fall off. And that's right. So the leaves start to fall off and we get ready for winter. So the trees start to die and the leaves start to get scattered along with the seeds. So at the first, it can be kind of sad to watch all the trees beginning to die for winter to start. But the really cool thing is those leaves, as they go out and scatter along the ground, in the spring, they're able to have sprouts and to start new life. So our giving is a lot like that tree. When we give, we scatter our blessings to others. And in turn, those people are able to scatter their blessings to more people. So I want you guys to get out a piece of paper and either the markers or crayons, and I want you to draw a great big tree. So I want each person in your family to draw their own tree so they can have their own piece of paper that they're working on. And if you're alone, I want you to do this too. So grab whatever you can to write with and make a big tree. So this is what mine looks like. So you're going to have some empty leaves, so your leaves can either be on the tree, they can be starting to scatter, but I want you to draw some empty leaves in here too. So hit pause, take a minute, and draw your trees. All right, as you come back, I want you to go to those empty leaves that are falling and on the tree, and I want you to write gifts that God's given you and ways that you can bless others. So something that I put on my tree was listening. So listening is a gift that God has given me, and I can use that to help others feel supported and encouraged. So that's something I want you guys to think about in yourselves. So what are some gifts that God's given you and ways that you're able to bless others with those? So hit pause, and I want each person in your family to fill up all of the empty leaves on your page. So for when we come back, all of your leaves should be filled. All right, as we are starting to come back, so all of your leaves should be filled on your page now. And the first thing I want you to think about and talk about as a family is how can we use the gifts that we wrote down on our leaves to love one another in our families? So hit pause and talk about that at home. All right. Another thing I want you guys to think about is how can we use those gifts that we wrote down on our trees to show Jesus's love to people in our community, even during this time? Maybe that's just a way that we can encourage someone that we know. But I want you to hit pause and talk about that as a family. How can you use the gifts that you wrote down to encourage others in your community right now? All right. The last thing I want you guys to talk about is as a family is take a minute and look at the trees of the family members you're with. Look at the gifts that they wrote down. And I want you to talk as a family about how you can encourage your family to use the gifts that they wrote down to love and perform good works in your home this week. So hit pause and take a minute to talk about that. All right. As you come back, thank you so much for doing this activity with me today. If you're following along in the Harbor Kids at Home, we have a couple other things in there for your families to do together too. We have a worship playlist. So our awesome Harbor Kids worship leader put together some motion videos so you're able to learn the motions along with your kids this Sunday. We also have a Spotify playlist with the same songs so you can listen to those anywhere in your home. We have the Bible story in here as well. Another activity that you can do together with your family, and then some discussion questions for after the sermon, after what we talked about today, you can reflect on this as a family and continue this conversation at home. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I'm so looking forward to seeing all of you again, but I am going to pass it back to Tim to close us. So thank you.
All right, friends. Before we go, let me say a word of prayer for us, if you would please join me. Gracious Lord, we need you now more than ever. Gracious Lord, we as your church, we pray for health. We pray that you would help the church lead in this season. Lord, we pray that you would teach us lessons about ourselves and one another. Lord, that you would build within us some resiliency and some faith and some character. And Lord, we pray that you would protect us. We pray that you would protect us. Jesus, we love you. We recognize that you endured far more difficult things than we have. And Lord, you show us how. And so Jesus, will we learn from you? And would we put all of our hope and all of our faith in you? Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. And friends, now for a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the hardest part for me. We'll talk soon, guys. Bye.
As you go throughout your week this week, we would love to hear about the ways that you are stirring each other to good works. Feel free to post those things on social media and tag our South Harbor page. We would love to see how you're putting this into action. For more information about the South Harbor Church community, please find us on the web at southharbor.org or on Facebook and Instagram at South Harbor Church. We also just want to remind you once again that if you are looking for a place to donate or to connect to ministries that are still serving in this time, or if you are experiencing a hardship in this time that we understand is very difficult, you can find information right on our website's homepage about how you can connect or get help. And so from all of us here at South Harbor Church, once again, we hope you have a blessed week.